very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am
king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king
doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one,
but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name's Bubba. You can reach me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Or you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheWordDouble, the letter P, then the word podcast, facebook.com/DoublePodcast. That's where you can give us your feedback. And we got some great feedback this week, which Catfish and I will be going over in 1 second. At the end of today's podcast, me, your book reader, Bubba, I'm going to be going over some simple, non-spoilery thoughts about the new sample chapter George R. R. Martin released, or I should say, told us about, from The Winds of Winter, the chapter entitled The Forsaken. So that'll be at the end of the podcast. Before we jump into the feedback about this wonderful episode of Game of Thrones, Season 6, Episode 6, Blood of My Blood, let's just get to some general podcast feedback. Dad Z wrote that when listening to our podcast about Blood of My Blood, he felt that there had been a smoky haze above you, and he thought medicinals were flowing in the last cast because we just kept giggling. Sorry about that, Dad Z. We're just the only people who find ourselves funny, so we have to giggle at ourselves. At Nicholas Fortuner on Twitter tweeted out, "Love this podcast recap of Game of Thrones." Thank you so much, Nick. Another great double L, Michael Killey, who's at Mike Killey on Twitter. He is excited about the prizes we're going to give away from the double W, the Wyndham Wizard, who loves giving away prizes. And yeah, check out our Facebook page. Check out our tweet for that. We got a tweet from a new person this week who I do not believe has tweeted at us before. It's Teresa Christina, who's at TCHRISANTOS, who said, "Volta Joffrey." I'm going to have to go to Babelfish, but I'm sure that means sexy Joffrey. On our Facebook page, Steve Welling wrote, "More Mork, whatever the hell you call him, needed please." I remind you that Mork is one of the hosts of our recap of the television show The Strain. It's about a zombie apocalypse, and I think we're going to have Mork back again this season on Game of Thrones, but we've also got some other special guests coming up, so just stand by. True double L at Matthew Papa 2 on Twitter, he gave this a quadruple B. He said, "Benjen's blended bunny blood is hitting Whole Foods this month." Our great double L, Tia Cookie, who's at Terrible_Tia on Twitter, she was down on Blood of My Blood. She gave it 5 out of 10. And so, because she was so down on it, she was convinced that I would love the episode. Tia, I only was up 2.5 points higher than you. Another person who was slightly down on the episode was at Little Andy or Jenny on Twitter, who gave it only 6 out of 10 double S's. Smuggled swords. They felt the episode had a lot of setup that felt like plot shortcuts. But they did prefer the double D, Dragon Rider Danny, to Fire Walk with Daenerys.
I'm telling mother.
All right, so Catfish, you ready to jump into some of the great feedback we got this week?
I am. I am indeed actually ready to get back into that feedback.
I want to start off with a question we got on Twitter.
Okay.
And this is from someone who's called Marsha Endeavor J on Twitter. WTF, Tommen and Margaery, what's the bigger plan? Is Margaery scheming? House Tyrell, House Lannister. What do you think? I think we agree on this, Catfish, that Margaery is scheming. But if Tommen isn't scheming and he is the king, what does that mean? What can happen if the wife is trying to just suck up to get her brother out of trouble and the husband is actually possibly converting to the faith of the Seven?
She just has to remember to be the one that talks to him last. Even though he's taken the faith, he still can be so easily manipulated.
Yeah, he's a double W, wishy-washy wimp. He's a triple W. It drives me crazy. Our good buddy Jake Ponser, on Twitter, he asks, and let me see if you agree with this, Catfish. He says, as slow as some of the King's Landing scenes have been in Season 6,
right,
the way they set up Tommen's heel turn, he thought worked very well. Do you agree that Tommen's heel turn, his flipping the script, to have his Kingsguard wear the Faith of the Seven, seven-pointed star on their breastplate,
Did they set that up well? I think they did. I'm with you, Jake. I thought it was incredible.
I mean, I absolutely did, and I hate to make the same joke over and over again, but, I mean, if he had talked to Jamie after he talked to the High Sparrow, things might have been totally different.
Right. The last person he talks to.
It's always the last person he talks to, so.
Well, he did. Hold on. He did actually talk to Uncle Jamie as he was stripping him of his title. So they did have
that
a bit of a
That is horrible.
Yeah. It was really painful to see Tommen be just such a heel, but perhaps it's not just the High Sparrow who manipulated him, because Marjorie's running her con, mm-hmm. and so he kind of got it from two people.
Oh, yeah. No, he absolutely did. But let's just say he's just as weak as he always was. Now, I wanted to cover a tweet we got a few days ago, because it
okay.
actually...
Let's hear it.
It's a Better Call call that didn't quite turn out.
Let's hear
it. It's by Terrence Revere, our friend at Revere Terry. He has been on the podcast as the Black Kraken. He's just joined Twitter, as you can tell from his lovely egg picture. And he said, I bet you Arya offs the young actress, not the old, needs to flee as a result. You heard it here first. So two of those three things were true. He did not off the old actress, and he needs to flee as a result. Just like Benjen Stark, he was 67% responsible for being correct. Our good friend Stephanie Persephone.
Yeah.
Said, I finally got her set her name right.
Yeah, we'll see.
At SM Persephone says, yeah. All hail is Grace King Joffrey. In reply to Arodo at Arodo, A-E-R-O-D-O-E, saying, I never thought I'd think this, but I miss Joffrey. There'd be no High Sparrow problem. Hashtag what would Joffrey do?
What would Joffrey do? That is a great, great question. Because a lot of people, they want to know, when Joffrey comes back from faking his death to catch your real usurpers, there are so many problems everywhere. Where does he begin? Does he begin at the bottom, Dorne, straighten out those triple S's, the sexy sand snakes, and work his way north? Because every kingdom has got trouble, buddy.
Yeah, well, he knows how to take care of business. You know, first you need to sort things out at home. He took care of the cat problem. He took care of the prostitute problem.
He did.
And then we would take care of the sparrow problem.
Now, Sarvesh on Twitter asked a question that I've been asking, too.
Oh, really?
And he's like, what's the nature of this, quote-unquote, new faith and Iron Throne alliance? Wasn't the crown and the faith already aligned? All the Lannisters are practicing members of the Faith of the Seven. Robert was. What is, quote-unquote,
well,
new about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they were. What's new about it is they were aligned in the way a parent and a two-year-old child is aligned, in that the crown says, go to bed, and the child goes to bed. And now this is more of a partnership.
Yeah.
You do this. It's
right.
We'll do that. Someone's in charge, and it's the High Sparrow. The faith now has more power than the crown.
Susan Stacy, who's at Black Eyed Lily, did you read this one, Catfish? She said she loved the callback to Ser Barristan. Remember back in season 1, episode 8, Ser Barristan was stripped of his place on the King's Guard, and he was sent out. He later joined up with Daenerys, and she said she felt the scene of Jaime being stripped of the King's Guard kind of tied back to that. Do you agree? To me, there wasn't so much of a callback other than here's yet another guy being kicked off the King's Guard.
Yeah, again, I think that's cool that they saw it. Now, I want you to read this tweet from Court right here.
Okay. So Court's at Genevieve on Twitter.
Okay. So that's where I want to stop you right now, because I love when you do this. It is Genndeve. So just like Hodor.
Well, how do you think it's pronounced?
It's Genndeve.
No, it could be.
There's no. There's that. Would, if it was Genndeve, it would have to be Genndeve.
No. How do you spell Guinevere? Go look at that.
Yeah, but you don't.
Did everybody hear that?
You don't say Guinevere.
No, you don't.
It's Genndeve.
Court is on my side. Read the tweet, and then you'll see.
Someone hurry up and dethrone this child. He's worse than Joffrey. Joffrey was evil, not useless.
Oh, hey, now.
Wait, hold on. What'd you say he's worse than... You didn't need to say he's worse than Joffrey, because we know everyone
No one's as good as King Joffrey.
Right. And Joffrey was definitely not useless. I agree with all that. So Genndeve, not Genndeve, is right. It's Hodor and not Hodador.
Well, wait a minute. Why do you keep pronouncing... You...
Because if I made you pronounce Hodor, you'd put in an extra syllable and say Hodador instead of Hodor. Just like with Genndeve, who also said a girl has a name and a sword called Needle. F with her again.
Ooh. Many people are just getting frustrated with usurper brother Tommen. Our great double L Peter in Australia, who's at Baga 2007, he tweeted out, "What would Joffrey think of his wimpy little brother who is bowing down to the High Sparrow?" Well, Peter, I have to be completely honest. I think Joffrey would think about treating Sir Pounce to some of his royal justice and make Tommen watch. Our good friends on Twitter, Write a Revolution, who are at Write a Revo, they tweeted out, "Once Tommen's voice breaks, he will become Joffrey." Well, that would be a start. And another great double L, Romy, who's at The Kindly Boy, he says, "Who will Joffrey punish more when he returns? The High Sparrow or Tommen for being such a wuss?" Yo, boy. That is a great question, and admittedly, this is, we're talking Winds of Winter stuff right now, and spoiler alert, in some of those preview chapters, it implies that Joffrey's going north to get the kingdoms back in line. So maybe somebody else will take out the High Sparrow. And Tommen, to be honest, I think you just put Tommen in a room with no child safety latches on any of the electrical outlets, and it'll take care of itself.
And now, at Dooley's Left Legs, Mark W., our friend who listens to our Periscope from overseas.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
In merry old England, who's up till 5 in the morning listening, watching the Periscope.
Oh,
says,
we love that.
Yeah, man, with the wildfire. It's all coming together for a triple E.
Triple E.
Yeah, epic ending episode.
Yeah, I think there could be lots of trouble.
A lot of people had thoughts about the infamous Bloody Hand. Wonderful podcaster herself, at Snow Lisi on Twitter, said that she thought that bloody hand, it looked like Ned and Lyanna's hands on the bed of blood. Ooh, possible spoiler alert for that. Let's see. Someone who agreed with Snow Lisi was our good friend at Pierogiman on Twitter, who was like, "Dude, it's Ned's bloody hand." And also Jason McDaniel, who's at Valis Jason, that's V-A-L-I-S Jason on Twitter, who agrees, "Hey, it's supposed to be a scene from that tower, which Ned was trying to get into way back in episode 3 of this year."
Jake Ponser, because we've been coughing so much, he said, "Benjen caught our colds from the last 2 weeks."
A lot of people like to triple S, skip Sam scenes. But Joey on our Facebook page wrote this about the Sam and Gilly trip to Hornhill. He said, "Hello, Bubba and Catnip. You guys kind of remind me of Sam and Gilly, as Catnip is much like Sam, and Bubba has the Gilly attitude, so I'd like to talk about them. After stealing the Valyrian sword Heartsbane, Randall Tarly will not stop to get it back. Once he finds Sam and Gilly, I can see a big double B, a big time beat down. Hoo! While Randall Tarly is beating Sam to a pulp, Gilly will save Sam by killing Randall Tarly with Heartsbane. Randall getting killed by a wildling with his own sword would be quite fitting. Gilly knows what a jerk Papa Tarly is, and she gives zero shits. Now, Sam is the oldest son and is the new lord of Hornhill and has an army behind him now, while Gilly is his double S, sexy sidekick. He will hear that the wall has lost Jon Snow and the wall is in shambles. Sam brings the Tarly fighting forces to Winterfell to help Jon destroy Ramsay. A-boom! Heck yeah, Joey, that is a good Better Call call. Joey was also kind enough to say he's been listening to me, Bubba, for years, and he wanted to know where a double P podcasting partner of mine has disappeared to. That's Ken from the Cripples, Bastards, and Broken Things podcast. Ken and I met back when we were both guests on Podcast Winterfell, and I guested on a lot of Ken's podcasts, Cripples, Bastards, and Broken Things. And that was a great teamwork Ken and I had, because Ken, so nice, so sweet, such a Sansa fan he was, where I would just say anything obnoxious to counterbalance his gung-ho-ness. Joey wants Ken to come back to podcasting, because when I was guest on Ken's podcast, Cripples, Bastards, and Broken Things, that's what got Joey into podcasts to begin with. Thank you. Boy, Joey, you are really nice to say this. My big hope is just Ken comes back and he's doing well, because he had a lot of great insights that always would challenge me. So I loved it. Also on our Facebook page, Matt asks, Do you think Sam took the sword so he can learn how to make Valyrian steel at the Citadel? We know that certain maesters know how to reforge it. I'm not sure if we really know that. Have they said that on the show, Matt? Maybe. Okay. Matt goes on to say, maybe Sam uses his book learning and the sample blade to reverse engineer this melting process. Ooh, now that is a really smart idea there, Matt. And our good friends at the Geek Girls Soup podcast, they tweeted out, they said, it's okay, Gilly. We can't walk in heels either. Oh.
Now, I love Geek Girl Soup because they did a shout out to, we do another podcast here on the Double P Podcast Network about this FX is the Strain,
right,
which David Bradley, the actor who portrays Walder Frey on Game of Thrones, he also portrays a character on The Strain. And so Geek Girl Soup made a couple of jokes. They were like, Walder could take back River Run if he had the Sturgoy on his side. and hold for laughter from the five people who watched The Strain. and then keep moving. That's
really
so true.
I can't imagine that of all the people who listen to us, there are actually five who listen to this podcast who actually watched The Strain as well.
At the Uncle Q on Twitter says, he offers his own Better Call Call. He says, Jamie forced to kill Brienne. That's one way to sink that ship in the fan community. Speaking of ships, we had at the Cave Knight on Twitter, one of my favorite new double L's. They wrote, curious to see where the Ironborn will find trees for their 1,000 ships. Are there any trees actually on the Iron Islands? You know, and I have to be honest, new ruler of the Iron Islands, Euron, he didn't care. He just said, cut down all the trees. So when the people come back to him and said, well, we cut down the 5 trees. That's it. We cut them all down. So we're good to go. Romy also asked about this 1,000 ship things. He says, what are the odds of Yara and Theon going towards Meereen? Well, that is seemingly where they could go. I don't know where else they could go. I know that if you've seen the coming up next on Game of Thrones preview, spoiler alert, you can tell they're in Volantis, which is in Essos, kind of on the way to Meereen. So why stop at Volantis? Keep going is what I say. Mark Studebaker on Twitter, who's at Studeba, he asked this question. Is there any chance Euron Greyjoy was behind all those ships burning in Meereen in the first episode? I love that idea, Mark. I think it makes perfect sense, which the show doesn't always. But I don't know if the show really has time to go there. There are only 4 more episodes in this season. And I also wonder, how would the show reveal that Euron Greyjoy burnt all those ships? The only way I think you could logically do it is, since they're not going to have Bran do a flashback to it, is Euron tells somebody. But that being said, Mark came back and he said, Euron is a boastful type. So, you know, he just asked how he boasted to Theon and Yara about how he killed their father Baelon. Great point.
I love this joke that Ian Trone does. He says that celebrities die all the time from alcohol drug poisoning in Bravos, just like in Earth. Hey, what are you saying about Prince there? That's not cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty funny. Good work, Ian Trone. We love him, Ian Trone, on Twitter. Good old at Big Hutta, that's Gary Hutterbarat, I hope I pronounced that right, on Twitter. He said, the actor that portrayed Joffrey tried his best, but he just didn't quite embody the awesomeness that was King Joffrey. I agree with that. Nobody's close.
I mean, that goes without saying. Joffrey would have already made Westeros great again. He wouldn't have to campaign for it.
A lot of people have been predicting about this, and I want to get to a better call call. Are you ready for a better?
Oh, yeah.
A better call call. Someone believed that this no one is going to kill Arya and take her face and take Needle and then go.
Also, our friends at Geek Girl Soup, we love them at
love
Geek Girl Soup, said, a girl is Arya Stark once again. But the question is, for how long will she be until someone kills her and steals her face and pretends to be Arya? Which would be, speaking of heel turns, wowza.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Tia Cookie tweeted out about Arya. She said, all this time, Arya's been working towards a career in improv. Yes, and Arya. Yes, and. Heighten. We also got this hilarious tweet about me from Rob, who's at Shartykins. That's S-H-A-R-T-Y-K-I-N-S. Shartykins on Twitter. He says, Bubba, what's your obsession with the opening credits? Oh, well, I'm sorry if my obsession is driving you batty, Rob, but I guess I'm going a bit batty trying to figure out the logic behind these opening credits. I have to say I'm not the only one. If you are a fan of that famous television reviewer, Alan Sepinwall, in every one of his reviews, he mentions, okay, we went to this on the map, we went to that on the map. And I guess I just wish it was more logical. It feels like sometimes the opening credits map follows the episode, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes a city that's not in the show will appear. Sometimes a city that is in the show won't appear. And so I just wish it was logical. And it drives me batty. I apologize, Double L's, if it's driving you batty. All right, so why don't we get to some Better Call calls? And we had some good ones. And I'm going to just read one. And you tell me if you agree with it. This was on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's facebook.com. The word double, the letter P, the word podcast, plural. This is from somebody called the Cave Knight. And here's his Better Call call. Evil Uncle Tyrion gets banished from Meereen by the unburnt Queen Daenerys when she returns due to his hopeless chess move in the last two episodes of allowing these other cities to have slaves. Tyrion returns on one of the soon-escaped dragons. So he's predicting that Tyrion's going to fall out with Daenerys, but then because Tyrion freed both of the dragons there in the crypts, that he's going to bond with it, and then he'll be able to return on one of the dragons, and she'll see him as an equal. What do you think about that? That's a fun idea. I can't imagine Daenerys would be happy unless Tyrion explains it as just a, you know, kind of a stalling tactic, right?
I think in the spirit of going off the deep end for Better Call Call, that it's a good one. That's a great Better Call call in the spirit of, let me say something crazy that's never going to happen. I love the idea of it. That's some great thinking. I just can't imagine little Tyrion on a dragon.
Catfish, you are cracking up.
Is he just going to hold on to Tyrion? He's going to ride an ear.
Hey, now, poor Tyrion. All right, so let's get to it. In the scenes that were in this show, we're going to go by each region, and let's have some Better Call calls. Let's go down to Horn Hill. What's going to happen? Is Sam now going to be hunted by his father? His father's going to know. I mean, it's going to be quite obvious that Blade is gone pretty soon. Let's hear a Better Call call.
Oh, wow.
What do you think is going to happen with Sam's story?
I didn't even think about that his father chasing after him. Of course he's going to come after him.
He's going to want that sword back. So what's going to happen? Let's hear a Better Call call, Catfish.
All right. My Better Call call is Sam, he's going to go to the city.
Right.
And then in the city, he's going to be able to hide.
Okay.
Because Gilly's going to work her magical powers to make them look like they're poor, and they're going to hide in a poorhouse.
All right.
He's going to hear about John, and then they're going to wend their way back up to the wall.
Whew. Well, we'll see. Maybe. I mean, that's a good Better Call call.
It's not as fun. You can give us a more fun one than that. You're good at that.
My Better Call call is that his father and his brother, wait for it, Dickon, are going to start hunting him. They were talking about hunting and shooting from, you know, so many feet.
70 yards.
70 yards, that's right. So perhaps is Sam, who, as Gilly loves to point out, he's killed a White Walker. He's killed a Thin.
Ooh.
Is Sam going to have to kill his father or his brother? Is Sam the kinslayer?
Well,
my Better Call call is the dad wants that sword.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's going to use it.
Oh, wow.
Now, I have some book knowledge about some people I haven't mentioned who Sam may have to use it for.
Unfair.
Who appeared, one of whom appeared in last week's episode. That's all I'll say there. Something's going to happen. And let's go ahead and say somebody's going to die in this. Somebody who is at this awkward dinner is going to be dead by the end of the season.
They can shoot from 70 yards away. And Sam's not that small a target.
Now, he didn't have that bread.
You're right.
He's now double S.
Double S.
Slim Sam.
Slim Sam. The only thing I'll say is if they try to catch him at night, it'll be hard because Sam looks good in black.
It's all the clothes he has. He's like, Gilly, we're taking this sword and all the nice clothes you got. Let's go.
Okay,
he's like, I thought it was real funny when he said, grab your things. And Gilly's like, things? You were here with me. What do we have?
This is it. So what's your Better Call call? for what's going to happen in King's Landing.
We saw wildfire blowing up in King's Landing. And we saw Cersei not seemingly worried about the High Sparrow and all the sparrows at all. It's not just that, hey, my trial by combat or her trial by combat, right? She's not worried about it at all. Yeah, she could win that, but how is she going to get her revenge on these people?
I mean, basically, it's kind of cheating because the guy that she's putting in trial by combat is already dead. So It's not like he's going to be easy to kill.
No, but this is what I'm saying is that, okay, that'll get her free, but she doesn't just want to be free and you know, not harassed. She wants her son back. She wants Shame Septa Unella dead. She wants the High Sparrow dead. And I'm worried that if she in any way can remember Wildfire,
Yeah, but then she's got a plan to get everyone she cares about way away from the wildfire.
Well, she just sent her lover and her brother, Jaime, away. So that's my Better Call.
I know,
call.
But she's got to get Tommen out.
Well, she's going to try.
Okay.
That's my Better Call. What's yours for King Landing? Let's hear it.
That's a Better Call call. So I'm going to say, since you were just on the nose here, I'm going to say that what happens is not the High Sparrow, but one of the middle to low sparrows.
You mean like Lancel, cousin Lancel, now brother Lancel?
Yeah. They're going to be just so tired of not being able to bathe or wash that basically they're just going to take everybody out. I'm going to say they're going to use the wildfire, but I'm going to say it's a mid to low sparrow that sets it off. In an unusual turn of events,
oh, wow.
It's a mid to low sparrow that we don't even know that is going to cause this tumultuous chain of events.
All right.
And that is my Better Call Call, Wildfire Edition.
All right, let's go up to the Twins and River Run. Where do you want to say Walder Frey is going to end up this season? Is Walder Frey, the bastard who runs the Twins, the leader of House Frey, quote-unquote now the leader of the Riverlands, does he survive the season, yes or no? Better Call Call. Let's hear it, Catfish.
I say he does survive the season, only because he's got so many bodies he can use as human shields.
Sun shields. It's a double S. Sun shields.
Yeah.
I say no. I say you don't bring him back for him to keep on living. I think you bring him back for him to die. That's my Better Call Call. Walder Frey gone. All right, let's go to Braavos. We've already had a couple of these.
Okay.
What's going to happen with Arya Stark?
Arya Stark knows one thing.
Let's hear it.
She has to hit the road for her only chance to live.
Yeah.
So basically, since she's remembered who she is, she's got Littlefinger again. She's basically learned how to kill,
right,
except for the fact that she appears to have a weak stomach for it. And let's say she goes back to King's Landing. Who's left on her list?
Well, Cersei, Walder Frey, two people we've mentioned. I think the Mountain is still on her list, so he'd be on it.
Okay.
That's a good call. She really shortened her list. She used to have Illyn Payne, the guy who chopped off her father's head. But since behind-the-scenes stuff here, that actor in real life got cancer and left the show and hasn't been seen since season two. I think they kind of let him slide off Arya's list, like Arya forgot about him.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure those are the three.
Like, I do have a Better Call call. Speaking of who used to be on list and who didn't, who's not on her list.
Let's hear it.
I think she is going to join up with her old friend, the Hound.
But he died, Catfish. How would she...
Did you see him die? You saw him stabbed and then walked away from...
He was not stabbed. He fell.
Ring this one. Ring the big one. Ring the big one.
He wasn't stabbed, okay. Catfish. He got beat up, hit with a rock a bunch, kicked a bunch, then pushed off the side of a mountain.
Sorry, what was in my head was she had a chance to stab him.
True.
And she walked away. Right. Presumably so that he would just suffer more. But she's going to be like, gosh, remember my old friend the Hound? What's he up to these days?
All right.
She finds the Hound. And they go on a killing spree, the likes of that hasn't been seen since Bonnie and Clyde.
Somebody says the Hound got a big, huge double B.
Double B?
Brienne beating.
Oh, nice.
All I'll say about the Hound is ask me again about that after next episode.
Ooh.
All right, so where else do we have to go? What was in this episode? So, Bran. Let's have a Better Call Call about our buddy Bran.
Oh, the Bran storyline. Okay, he's got things to learn, and then he has to be back at the wall.
You're not excited. I think Bran's been the most interesting storyline this whole season.
We have a disagreement between us as far as where Bran's going, don't we? Or did we disagree with some of our listeners? Because I thought he was going south.
I could see him. It seems more logical that he's going south, but I could see him going north. Maybe he doesn't go south until
he's
got
to go
season.
North
so
to learn and then south to the...
To fight, yeah.
The question is, you know, they say most times the problem with an army is supplying them, a.k.a. they say an army marches on its stomach.
Right.
Since the White Walkers presumably don't really need to eat.
Right.
What's taking them so damn long to get anywhere?
Theoretically, call me crazy, if this is a military strategy, maybe he did need to destroy the Three-Eyed Raven's cave and kill all those children of the forest so that he couldn't be attacked from the rear. You know, if this was military, if he's going to march south and they were behind him, there'd always be trouble. Like, there'd be always be something he'd have to worry about on his backside. So maybe,
right, but now
maybe the Night's King is smarter.
But now they're there,
okay.
And presumably they're going south.
Presumably. That's
so
the big
how
that's
is
the big
Bran
thing.
Going to go north and then catch up to them if they're going south?
That is the question, let's be honest. Catfish, let's just say it.
Say it.
Next week, this is the feedback show, and in a couple days, we're going to have a brand new episode of Game of Thrones. And so when we look at the preview for the next episode entitled The Broken Man...
Oh, God, I hate it when that happens.
What happens?
Someone gets broken.
Oh, on this show? You must hate this show. It happens every
their
time.
Their spirit broken.
All right, so we know we're going to see Jaime at River Run. In fact, the drawbridge comes down and out comes the Blackfish. So there's a confrontation there. The Freys are there. Edmure is being, I believe that's Edmure's feet being walked through the camp.
Right.
We see Lady Olenna Tyrell pretty much taking Cersei to task, saying, listen, you buffoon, our offspring, our line is in trouble because you got the High Sparrow.
Right.
Are you excited about that? We see Sansa, Jon, Davos. We see a bunch of people at a northern house.
You know, I was listening to the follow-up from last week.
Yeah.
In which you covered a lot of good comments. And one of them had to do with why is Sansa sort of taking charge rather than Jon? I mean, he's back from the dead. He should be invigorated, but... And yet, he doesn't seem empowered. She's the one who's empowered.
Right.
So, she seems to be leading this charge, and we really want Jon to sort of come alive here. And he still hasn't, even though he's like, okay, we'll do this. He still hasn't been like, I'm on a mission from God.
Right.
So, that's a little disappointing, but Sansa seems to be leading the way. Everybody back off. I'm in charge.
Yeah. Step the F off. We also have a scene of Jon and Tormund trying to convince these wildlings, like, hey, you just got safe. Who wants to go fight in a war against Ramsay?
Well, Tormund makes a good point in that it's usually a point that you're not around to hear.
Right.
And that is, he died for us. We'd be wimps not to try and fight for him. So
he died for us. He's standing right there.
Yeah, exactly. He kind of only sort of died, guys. I mean, if I die,
yeah,
I'm dead.
Pretty much.
Am I going to come back? I'll tell you what. I'll die for him if I get to come back the way he came back.
Sansa's there with the wildlings. That won't be good.
I'm telling Mother.
Okay, I promised this at the beginning of the podcast, and so let's get to it. George R. Martin released another sample chapter to The Winds of Winter. And when I say he released it, he actually read it at a convention in Baltimore, Maryland, where he read it out loud to the crowd, and many people have transcribed it and put it out online. And it's entitled The Forsaken is the name of the chapter, and it deals with a character who I really don't think will appear on the show, though it appears the show has given this character's name to a minor similar type character on the show. But anyway, this character most likely will not appear, is what I'm imagining. And I have to say, I loved this chapter. I was so down on the previous released chapter, which I felt didn't advance the plot much, and I thought, well, this is the type of chapter that made Catfish quit the books. Well, I think this chapter they just released, The Forsaken, is the type of chapter that Catfish would love. I loved it too. Why? While many people always talk about world building, and I felt that was really kind of the only thing that happened in the previously released preview chapter, This release chapter, The Forsaken, has world building, but also a lot of things happen in it. The plot moves. I like to say that in the first book, and in the second book, and in the third book, but definitely in that first book, the one that got us all hooked, the plot moved. Yes, there were parts of the book, just went on and on building world, but once you got past that, like, things happened. A lot of people say in the first book that when Catelyn went to the Eyrie with Tyrion, her path to get to the castle up in the mountain was just so long. George just described every single bit of this trip, and she had to go through so many things, and she had to ride a donkey, and she had to take a basket up, and these kind of things. But in that chapter, at the end of that chapter, Catelyn reached her goal. She reached the Eyrie. She talked to her sister, Lysa Arryn. She saw little Robin Arryn, and her kidnapping of Tyrion kind of got discussed, and it, like, things happened. She reached her goal, and the story changed. In the previously released Winds of Winter chapter about a character named Arianne, this character went through all this stuff, got all these descriptions, and then when she's about to reach her goal, she's told, no, your goal has moved to a different castle, and so she just has to keep going. And so, boy, that just knocked me out. I couldn't believe it. I know some people love it, and I don't want to say they're wrong to love it. I'm just saying for me, it just wanted me to bash my head against the wall. I'm like, why did I read all this? In the first book, you wouldn't have given me all this and not give me a resolution. But once again, this new chapter, The Forsaken, it's twisted, it's dark, it's depressing, it's upsetting, but things have happened. It parallels with a chapter that has already been released, a chapter about a character named Victarion, kind of covers parts of the same events that happen on the Shield Islands, but so much happened. Revelations were explained, and I liked it a lot. And I hope that The Winds of Winter, whenever it comes out, it has more chapters like this. All right, so The Broken Man, you ready?
I'm ready.
Remember, you can always reach us on Twitter. You can reach me, my name's Bubba, at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And you can always reach me, Catfish.
Heck yeah.
At CJGman67. You know what? Boy, I was in real trouble last week.
You were?
I was sick, and some people were calling for CJGman68 to ascend to my throne.
They were.
But I'm back.
Back.
And I'm kicking CJGman68 back down to there, and I am back.
And please get the discussion started on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/doublepodcast. The word double, the letter P, and the word podcast plural. Like the page, you're entered in the contest. And you'll hear us next time on
The Joffrey of Podcasts.